While we believe that the subjects discussed in Show 1 of Bitches Get Personal are important and necessary, we understand that there may be moments in this recording that are distressing for some in our audience. There is also language used that may not be appropriate for some of our younger listeners. Therefore, listener discretion is advised.
Hello, and welcome to Bitches Get Personal. There will be two acts today with a 15-minute intermission. Act 1 will be It's Personal. It's Personal is a group of solo performers that write and perform true stories on stage. Follow us on Instagram at It's Personal on Stage. Please be advised, tonight's performance deals with topics that may be triggering for some viewers. If you have any questions, our box office attendant is nearby. Act 2 will be The Bitchery of History. The Bitchery of History is a podcast celebrating women in history who may have been forgotten. Follow us on Instagram at The Bitchery of History. This show will be recorded, so please silence your cell phones. This month, we'll be raising money for Downtown's Women's Center, DWC, and it's helping house women who are homeless and much more. Please see our program for more details, and we will be collecting donations during intermission and after the show. Thank you, and enjoy the show. Woo.
Let's begin simply. I am Chloe. I'm an earthling, a human, a Pisces, an actress, she, her, a Canadian. I am Chloe. I forgo my afternoon coffee if I don't have my reusable cup. I vote. I swapped from a plastic toothbrush to bamboo to help save the planet. I donate blood to save lives. I will not take a plastic water bottle. I will not force you to go to church with me. I will take you to the airport. I will offer you my aisle seat. I will tip you 20%. And I will wave to you if you let me pull in front of your car. I will always ask for help. I am Chloe. I am not Oprah. I'm not Hermione Granger, and I'm certainly not Florence Nightingale. I'm not anyone deemed particularly important, but I am changing the world from where I stand. I may only be in my 20s, but I've learned that to make the world a better place, you have to start with yourself. And sometimes that means being my own hype woman. So, I am Chloe. I am beautiful. I am thoughtful. I am deserving. I am cool. I'm clean. Lovely. Lively. Unique. Hardworking. Kind. Smart. Strong. Special, spontaneous, sassy, sexy, punctual, positive, wild, winsome, fun, fit, fabulous, talented, I'm thirsty! I believe in God. I believe in superheroes. And I believe you don't have to be known by all to change the world for the better from where you stand.
I never really saw myself as making an impact, or even being someone I thought was strong. I was just always waiting to be more. I used to think my Disney obsession was silly because others said it was. But when I was little, I used to think Disney princesses were the shit. And my name is Ariel. But to me, those princesses, they had all the attributes that made them lovable. And there were so many times that I didn't feel that way. When I was little, my stepdad used to make me eat by myself in my bedroom because I was a loud eater. I know it sounds sad, but I always made the best of it. My favorite Barbie doll was a Princess Jasmine Barbie doll. And I would set her up next to me, and she would keep me company. There's still times to this day when I hold my breath while I eat to make sure I'm not making too much noise. My real dad would come and go. Sometimes he was really there. Other times he was bringing me along to his crystal meth dealer's house. I never understood why I had to wait in the car for so long. And I would just stare at the window at this really old, overgrown cactus. But the shape of it kind of reminded me of the caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland. So I would just sit there and stare at the window and kind of get lost in a daydream, thinking about being on my own adventure. And that got me out of this really weird, guilty feeling I used to have in my stomach about my dad. And it brought me to a place where I could continue to love him anyway. Ironically, my first boyfriend in high school was an addict. And once again, I was the one that felt guilty about this because I just wanted to fix him with love. There's this one day that I had an altercation with a family member. I was defending my younger sister. My mom was out of town. It got ugly. And thank God for a metal screen door for keeping this person from getting inside our house and for the police making him leave. I remember I called my boyfriend to come over. I was afraid for my sister and I to sleep by ourselves. Well, he came over high and aggressive. I made a mistake. Instead of comforting me, he demanded a blowjob. I remember I had to send my sister to the other room and fill up with shame as I did what I had to do to make him leave. I remember taking a shower that night and crying really hard. But then I pulled myself together and insisted my sister and I take our comforters from our beds, bring them to the living room, and watch a cozy Disney movie. And that made us feel safe. The rest of high school, I was kind of absent. I knew my mom could not afford college, and I literally thought, I'll just go to LA and become an actress. It'll just be fun and exciting, and I just had these brand new aunt and uncle who offered me a condo with affordable rent with some cool roommates. Well, right when I moved out, those roommates decided they didn't want to live there anymore, and they abandoned their property. They did leave a shitty TV, though, and I had a DVD player, and inside that DVD player was Monsters, Inc., and I would be so scared, and I would watch Monsters, Inc. when I woke up in the morning, while I got ready for work, and to help me fall asleep at night. There are still times I hear the opening credits of that movie and want to cry for how he used to comfort me so. It wasn't long before I had to move back home with my mom to save up money to come back, even though I was advised not to because I was too nice to be an actress. I need to know how to speak up for myself and stand up. And there was a million prettier versions of me out there, so yeah, my chances are pretty slim. Well, I believe in magic, and I believe in dreams, and making them come true. And I'm willing to give as much love and compassion to anyone who feels like they're missing a little magic from their life. And that my kindness is my strength. Maybe I'm more like a princess than I think.
One of my all-time absolute favorite things to do is dream. Well, sleep. I prioritize sleep over everything in my life more times than I can count. I used to tell my parents that I was going to class. I would drive to school. I would sit in the parking lot and I would take a nap instead of actually going to class. I have left New Year's Eve parties early to sleep. I have left boyfriends' beds at 4 o'clock in the morning so I could go home and go to sleep. I have specifically driven to parks and beaches for the purpose of napping. I love to sleep. Because sleeping and dreaming are incredible escapes from reality. When your reality is a complete lack of dreams, sleeping feels all the sweeter. Now, I'm not saying I've never had a dream. In fact, one might say I've had too many, but a dream that I've thrown my full heart into, a dream that became long-lasting, a dream that I actually turned into an achievable goal. When I was in elementary school, I dreamed that I would become a teacher. I would skip recess and I would help my teacher grade papers and work on lesson plans. I was constantly reading ahead in textbooks. When I would go home, I was actually creating math homework to play school for no one. 10 years ago, I went to Chicago for the first time, and I absolutely fell in love with the vibe of the city. I dreamed that I would move to Wrigleyville, become a die-hard Cubs fan, eat pizza, take the L to the pier every weekend. When I was in high school, I really got into television broadcasting class. I was behind the scenes of the morning news. I was learning how to edit tape to tape. And I was even producing public access broadcasting. At the same time, I was falling in love with Conan O'Brien. Both his comedy and the format of his show. And I dreamed that I would use my TV broadcasting knowledge to work for him. I have dreamed of marrying Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Jake Gyllenhaal, Lindsay Lohan, my high school boyfriend, Devin Saw, Ben Barnes, Emily Van Camp,
And then Jake Gyllenhaal a few more times.
A lot of my time this year has been spent dreaming of moving to Dallas, Texas, which is a place I've never been. I recently reconnected with a friend who now lives there. We dreamed that we would live together. I love barbecue. I don't mind the heat. And I also love a low cost of living. In 2012, two of my friends dreamed that they would leave Philadelphia and drive to Los Angeles, and that they would stay there. And I dreamed that I would go with them. Now that dream, I actually threw my full heart into. That dream I made long lasting. That dream I actually turned into an achievable goal. But for the most part, I've been living a pretty aimless existence, which is both liberating and terrifying. Liberating because if one dream doesn't work out, let's move on to the next one. Terrifying because I've never really had a specific guideline or plan for my life. A lot of people go to college, they follow that career, they fall in love and dream of having a family, and all of those dreams help guide them and their decisions. And me, I'm just here, flapping in the wind, hoping that my next 10-hour night of sleep or 90-minute nap will allow me to dream up what I'm supposed to do next.
Girl, you in trouble, flirting on the double. You say you don't care what they think, but you care what they think. Girl, you in trouble, running on the double. You can't accomplish a thing. You're a needy creep. Girl, you're only human. What should you do when you're lost at sea? You're the last of your class, and you're feeling thick. No one will notice. No one will notice. No one will notice. You've been ghosted and cracked and stabbed in the heart. You won't take it back if it tears you apart. Girl, you in trouble. Girl, you in trouble.
Spoiler alert, eating disorders are not usually about food. For me, it was about control. The summer I turned 16, I was already on a slippery slope with food, like measuring my salad dressing, when my older sister was in a severe golf cart accident. She was flown by helicopter to undergo emergency brain surgery. Thankfully, she is a perfectly healthy, happy, sometimes still annoying older sister today. But life was no longer playing by my rules. Anything could happen to anyone at any time. And I needed something to control. Because I was already thinking about food so much, it became very easy to start obsessively controlling everything that I ate. Or, more accurately, as the summer went on, didn't eat. I might snack on some veggies like celery, salsa, have a big salad for dinner with some salmon on top, but that was pretty much it. Even without a scale, I knew I was losing weight fast. I think I dropped to about 70 pounds before my parents staged a major intervention and told me I had to start eating or I was gonna go to the hospital. So I started eating, and it was really, really hard because I still needed something to control. For years, I walked this line of eating enough to make my parents happy, but not so much so as to give up the control I so desperately craved. I knew how many calories I was consuming daily for years. All through college, after moving to LA, I hid my eating disorder behind excuses like not being hungry or having already eaten or not being a breakfast person. I didn't want to eat any food that I couldn't read a label for. And I hated people watching me eat and I dreaded being asked out to lunch by friends. How was this ever going to stop? And would I ever be able to enjoy some chips and salsa without wondering how many chips were in a serving according to Tostitos and how many calories were in that serving? And then I started running. Not to lose weight, really. I just was feeling lazy with a daily walk and wanted some movement. Spoiler alert, running every day makes you really hungry. I remember the first breakfast that I ate in years, literally years, was an apple. Just an apple, but eaten before noon. Something was changing. The apple became oatmeal, became toast, became breakfast every day. I started running further and eating more, and yes, I was getting bigger, but I was loving this new strong person I saw in the mirror every day. Because I've always wanted to be an action hero, so why was I forcing my body to be waif-like and thin for rescuing when I was always going to rescue myself? And then my friend Max, who's known me since my skinny college days and who you'll meet later tonight, gave me the best compliment I could have ever received. He said, "You look like a real person now. You take up space." I knew what he meant, and I knew that I was winning. But it hasn't been easy. Letting go of 7 years of daily calorie calculations does not happen overnight. There are still days that I have to remind myself that I get to eat lunch. But I credit almost all of this change to running, because running has given me a true love and respect for my body and what my body can do. Running forces you to listen to your body. when I first started, I would push myself to run further and faster and run every day. But the more that I get into the sport, the more I realize that I want to be able to run and run strong for many years to come. And that means giving myself a rest day and some ice cream. Spoiler alert, running has made me a stronger woman. On the outside, yes, but perhaps more importantly, in.
I was invited as a member of the press to attend the LA premiere of the music video for the new song Don't Silence Me by Sadie Jumay. She had written the song after her friend, actress Mari Morrison, had confided in her about being sexually assaulted by a French film director. Together, they created the song and video in hopes that it would spark a movement and that the song would serve as an anthem for survivors of similar attacks. A beautiful battle cry, the song basically tells men to keep their hands to themselves. The video features powerful images of women symbolically breaking their silence by ripping pieces of duct tape off their mouths that have words like invisible, ugly, and bitch written across them. After the screening, there was a panel about using creativity to heal. I had actually met one of the panelists in the lobby before the screening. Her name was Lily Bernard. She shared her story that she was one of the women who had been raped by Bill Cosby. At great personal cost, she and the other women who spoke out against Cosby actually changed laws and got the statute of limitations for rape cases overturned. The entertainment industry can be a scary place to be a woman. Well, thankfully, I don't have my own sexual assault story. I have had instances where things have crossed a line. A couple months prior, I had called my mom sobbing because something about a shoot I had just done hadn't felt quite right. I actually had to call her twice because I had chickened out the first time. It took two attempts because I was embarrassed. I felt stupid. I felt confused. I feln't dramatic. I couldn't tell if I was making mountains out of molehills and just blowing everything out of proportion. When you're in the moment, it can kind of be hard to tell if a boundary's being crossed. But later, and I looked back on the situation, something in my gut told me that I was right to feel uncomfortable, and that was the worst feeling of all. Because it made me disappointed in myself. I am a smart, cautious woman. I don't get into sketchy situations. I know how to walk away when something makes me uncomfortable. Except I didn't. And then afterwards, I didn't want to talk about it to anyone. Now, thankfully, when I did finally spit the story out, my parents were very supportive. And that made me feel safe enough to talk about it with my friends. I even gave them the name of the director so that they themselves could avoid working with him. To me, that's what the Don't Silence Me movement is all about. It's about creating a culture free of the stigma of shame which prevents people from speaking out. By speaking up, we can heal. Change. Warn. When we break the cycle of silence, we break the cycle of assault. And now, thanks to Mari and Sadie, we have a battle cry.
You hear her say no. My sister, step away from her. Stay. really want to be a mom. Not right now, but someday. I love babies. I always have. Every time I see a cute little newborn baby, I feel immediately drawn to them. Even if they're crying, I just want to hold them and rock them and hold their cute little baby hand. Every time I'm really sad, I watch that YouTube video where that baby gets glasses and sees her parents for the first time. When my little cousin was born, all I wanted to do was help dress him and change his diaper like he was a real-life baby doll. I started babysitting at age 10, starting with family and eventually babysitting my parents' friends' kids when I got old enough. Apparently, my mom was the same way when she was younger. She always knew she wanted to be a mom, and she's damn good at it. There are a lot of things in life I want to do and be and achieve, and I've always been an extremely motivated and driven person, but there are a few things in life I feel more called to do than to be a mom. I actually think about my kids a lot. These people that don't exist yet, but I know are a part of me. I don't know them, but I do, and I love them. I think about making them proud and the inside jokes we'll create and the ways that I will inevitably fuck them up that they'll talk to their therapist about one day. I have a list of baby names in the notes app on my phone, and I update it frequently. I know I sound crazy. But even weirder, I'm really jealous of pregnant people. I want to be pregnant so bad. It just seems so cool. I know that there are a lot of disgusting and uncomfortable things about it, but I just want to experience it. I'm just jealous of their belly and their glow and the way that they just are casually creating human life. I just want to experience it so bad. Sometimes I worry that being obsessed with being pregnant and being a mom makes me a bad feminist. Like, even though I don't necessarily want to be a stay-at-home mom, I want to have kids and put my family above all else. And maybe that makes me less driven than other people. Like, because I'm so sure about it, maybe that's a bad thing. But I just want to experience it. Again, not anytime soon. I am so thankful for my IUD. I am worried that when I do want to get pregnant, though, I won't be able to and I'll be crushed. I feel like my body works the way it's supposed to, but I'm scared to find out that it doesn't. I wonder if all women have this pull toward babies and nurturing another life and raising a family, or if it's just me. I just can't wait to be a mom. Well, I can. Until then, I just really need to get a dog.
Baby, oh baby, I love when you call me baby. When you squeeze me real tight, you make all things right. And I can't stop.
I'm actually really excited to be here tonight. I'm sure most of you can't tell that because of my bitch face. Bitch face. You know what, bitch face? I think I hate you. Others tell me I need to fix you. Girl, you cause me problems on the daily. Because of you, People think I'm stuck up when they first meet me. Dude, you need to fix your face if you don't want her to hate you, they say. Your focused eyes, scrunched up brow, tight lip, deadpan features have created your own identity. Because of you, people break the don't judge a book by its cover rule. They call me cold, rude, cunt, slut, bitch. Bitch. A lot of people's favorite word to use when my name gets dropped in casual conversation. A bitch, when they tell me to smile. As I'm walking to my car at 9 p.m. alone at the gym, keys turn blade in hand and curse me when I walk a bit faster. A bitch, when they tell me I'm gorgeous, as they hang out of their car with three of their friends, then follow me home because I ignore them with headphones in but no music playing. They grab my waist as I'm out dancing with friends and pull me to their crotch. Oh, and tell me that they want the white meat, as if it's a compliment, then call me a fucking bitch as I peel their fingers from my flesh. Where'd you come from? Were you always there? Nah, see, you couldn't have been. Because when you were a child, you were the social butterfly fluttering your wings around the jungle gym, making friends with anyone who would laugh with you. So who created you then? Was it these strangers? Was it the family member who raised you to be an independent, opinionated woman, only to turn to you at 23 years old and tell you children are seen and not heard? Was it the teacher who bullied you to the point that you ended up dropping out of high school in order to protect yourself, only to turn and tell everyone, oh, Alicia left because she was pregnant? Was it the boy named Wolfgang who, despite his name, you decided to be friends with in college, who pressured you into going to a party that you did not want to go to, only to end up drugging you at it? Or was it the boy you dated for 3 years who sexually assaulted you while you were sleeping, only to tell you, oh, I'm allowed to because I'm your boyfriend? The same boy who threatened suicide over and over and over again. Who you dated for 3 years too long in fear that he would kill himself and it would be your fault. You were fucking stronger than that. Or is it the girls who are so insecure in themselves that they need to suck on your happiness like a leech in order to make themselves feel more full? Who project their fears onto you in hopes that it tears you down? Well, ladies, how is that working out for you? My bitch face is my armor. It's my sword and shield. Home is not a safe space. Bitch face is a safe space. They call you resting bitch face, but no, there's nothing fucking restful about you. How can I smile and sleep pretty when there are four locks on the door and every window is like a come and we're open sign? I'm tired. I am so tired of having to defend you. But you know what? No, maybe it's not your fault. I'm sorry that men are generally unhappy with the fact that women don't smile at them constantly. The minute that I smile at your demand, I chisel away at my own self-respect. I'm sorry that my bitch face intimidates you because you can't read me. It's not my job to make sure that you feel comfortable. Underneath this bulletproof vest I've created is a strong, powerful woman. She is the girl who dances down the condiment aisle in Ralph's like an idiot. She is the girl who breaks the ice with a poop story. We all do it. Ask me about the frog in the toilet story after the show. She is the girl who laughs the loudest at herself. She is the girl who loves fiercely and never backs down from a challenge. She is this girl who, despite her flaws, does not give a flying fuck that not every person on the planet is going to like her. She has two adorable puppy boys and a cat that she is so obsessed with you would think she birthed him from her own loins. She is loud, crazy. She is imperfect and wonderful, kind and messy. She's all of these things. And if that makes her a bitch, she's a fucking badass bitch. And I'll smile to that.
Outside for a few minutes. We'll see you back here in 15 minutes for the Bitcher of History Live podcast.